Every now and then, it feels as though life has passed you by, as though you're on the shelf and past your use-by date. But listen to me, your best is yet to come. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages to take a look at your future, the future that God has planned for you. And please do stick with me because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet called Your Best is Yet to Come. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you lay hold of the amazing future that God has planned for you, irrespective of where you're at right at the moment. We're starting a new series this week called Your Best is Yet to Come. You know, we all go through this sense of being washed up at some point. It's over, I'm past my prime, and you don't have to be an old fogey to end up in that place. I was inspired recently by Margaret Court, the greatest tennis player of all time. Now, Margaret has won 62 Grand Slam titles. She did that between 1960 and 1975. Nobody else has come anywhere close to that record. I heard her talking about the fact that when she finished this great tennis career and she started having babies and raising a family, she felt all washed up. She went through fear and depression and hopelessness and sickness. And in the midst of it all, God gave her a sense that her best was yet to come. Now, I won't tell you any more of her story because she'll be joining me next week on the program to tell us all about that herself. Now, whether we're some tennis superstar or whether we're an ordinary punter like you and me, we can feel like it's all over. I've spoken to teenagers who feel like it's all over. I've spoken to 70 and 80-year-olds who feel like it's all over, like there's no real purpose, like there's nothing to put a spring in your step. I think that's important. I love to have a spring in my step. I love to have a sparkle in my eye. I love to be passionate and enthusiastic about something. What about you? Let me introduce you to an old-timer who was all washed up. He's a man called Moses. Now, Moses is a well-known person. We've all probably heard of Moses. But it's a funny thing about well-known people, whether it's Margaret Court or Moses, or we imagine somehow, with all that fame and recognition, how can they possibly have any problems in life? But people are people. We all go through that stuff. And when we do, we feel like we're the only ones. Well, let me give you a revelation today. We all go through that stuff. Let me say it again. We all go through that stuff. And what I find is that the more that I get on the front line of helping other people with my kind of gift of storytelling, the more the world wants to attack me, because there's a spiritual battle going on. Anyway, back to Moses. Here's the background. The nation of Israel ended up as slaves in Egypt, and they were breeding like rabbits. I mean, there were so many of them that Pharaoh was concerned that the whole nation of Egypt would be overrun by the Hebrews. So what he decides to do is put them all into slavery, and he tries to have all the young Hebrew baby boys killed. Moses is one of those baby boys, and he escapes, and he ends up growing up, ironically, in Pharaoh's palace. And Moses, even though he grew up in this Egyptian privilege in the palace of Pharaoh, Moses always had a heart for his own people, the Hebrews, who were in such terrible conditions in their slavery. And one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were, and he watched them in their hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And he looked this way and he looked that way. He didn't see anyone, so he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And the next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. And he said one to the other, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And they said, "What, has someone made you ruler over us?" So he thought, "Oh, no. The word's out that I killed this Egyptian. Other people know." And in fact, when Pharaoh heard of it, he tried to have Moses killed. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, here's Moses. Moses is born a Hebrew. He's put into a reed container onto the River Nile and hidden, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and he goes from being a Hebrew baby on death row to growing up in enormous privilege in Pharaoh's palace. And then he's on the run for murder, and he's in Midian, which is a foreign country in the middle of the desert. Even though Moses had his ups and downs, in the downs, Moses' traits shine out. God gave him a heart like this. He goes and he stands up for the Hebrews who are being beaten. Later on, you can read the story in Exodus chapter 3, he sees at the well that he sat down at these young daughters of a priest being abused by some rough shepherds, and he goes and stands up for them. That's what Moses was like. It's what God kind of put in his heart. It's what made him tick. And it's the same with you and me. There are things that we are, things that we love to do, things that just make us fire. For Moses, it was a heart for his people and a sense of justice. And God later on used that mightily. For me, it's storytelling. Now, let's hang on to that, because we're going to look at that in a lot more detail later on this week. We go through roller coaster rides, down and up and down and up and down, and then ultimately we end up feeling like we're in the middle of nowhere. Like Moses, from Pharaoh's palace to herding sheep out back and beyond. It's the way life goes sometimes. It's like God takes us out of the game and puts us on a shelf somewhere, hidden, and we think it's all over. But you know, a good bottle of wine matures and ages in a dark, cool cellar. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly hidden away in a cocoon. A baby grows in its mother's womb, hidden away from everybody's eyes. Turns out, God does his greatest works in the dark, in the desert, in those places where we feel completely alone, where we feel like it's all over. Moses spent years wandering around this land. He knew it like the back of his hand. And later, when God made him the leader of his people Israel, during the 40 years Exodus, they spent a lot of their time around this land. Even in the desert, God was getting Moses ready, getting him to know the land by herding sheep. He knew it like the back of his hand. It equipped him for the role that God had for him. When we're in that wilderness like Moses was, we think it's all over. We think God has given up on us. But that's not it. God is doing stuff in that wilderness that we can't begin to imagine. And what's more, God is out in that wilderness with us. And when we least expect it, he comes along and says, "Now I have a plan for you." That's what he did with Moses. He gave Moses one of the greatest leadership roles in Israel's history. This man who was a burnt out old wreck at the back of the desert. This man who had no future. This man who'd killed an Egyptian and thought that he had nothing left. God came and spoke to him in the desert and said, "Moses, go tell Pharaoh. Go tell him to let my people go." Moses didn't realize it, but God was in that desert. Moses didn't realize it, but in all of that time in that wilderness, God was getting him ready. Because for Moses, in that desert, his best was yet to come. And for you and me in our wilderness, can I encourage you to believe that your best is yet to come? Listen up. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right at this moment, what you have going on, be it good, bad, or ugly, God has a plan for your life, a plan for good, a plan for a future of meaning and purpose and impact, a plan that we couldn't possibly comprehend if we tried. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Your Best Is Yet to Come. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the amazing future that God has planned for you. And at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.